Hello and welcome back to the ring. I, of course, am your host, the one and only Dr. B.O.B., and with me, as always, is the consigliere of the Dr. Bob Medical Practice, the man who can get you out of your contract without you having to front face lock some jabroni, the one and only Rob the Lawyer. How are you, Rob?
Hey, Bob. It's good to be back. It's been, what, 2 months?
Yeah, it has. It's almost 2 months, yes.
I've missed this completely. It was, you know, since we went on hiatus, I have, you know, haven't had anything to do. It's kind of sad. I did get married. I guess that's something.
We owe a big congratulations. No longer living the bachelor life.
Yep, done with that.
He's had to cut way back on his Pokemon card
influx. Yeah, you think that, but that didn't happen.
He just keeps them all in a storage unit now.
Yeah, exactly.
I will go out to get some milk. He runs into the storage unit and starts opening packs real quickly.
Do you have cameras on me or something? Because that's exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, Jesus.
I wish I could say I'm joking, but that's exactly it.
Oh, geez. Anyway, yeah. Oh, I think we need something from Target.
Yeah, I've used that line on many occasions.
But anyway, oh, it's good fun. Hey, man, it pays to have a hobby.
Yeah, but this is a better hobby. You know, doing the podcast every week.
Hey, folks, we're back. Sorry, I don't know how much you all missed, but we're just going to pick up where we were because I don't know.
We couldn't recapture that conversation if we tried.
No. So, yes, Will Ospreay should go to Impact, learn the American style, and then come to WWE.
Yeah.
Okay. Where were we at? Let's see. Okay. Well, we talked about NXT versus AEW. Another interesting note of what happened during NXT versus AEW was Tony Khan's complete and utter mental breakdown over the 72 hours surrounding that Tuesday night.
That was sad. It was like watching Charlie Sheen break down again. And yes. I felt for him. I mean, I admit that I'm not a good person because I was laughing at it. Mm-hmm. But you had to feel for him because it's like he truly believes that if he puts the word dream match in front of something, people will accept it as such. And that because the numbers came out so skewed in WWE's favor, that there was this conspiracy against him and he reacted in kind. Yep. It was embarrassing for him, like for me, for him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't describe what happened to him, but it was the saddest thing I ever witnessed in wrestling in terms of just like how people reacted to something.
Well, it wasn't. Like, the reactions were one thing. The going on random fans' tweets and getting in arguments with them. And, like, tweeting about Vince McMahon, which, okay, I hate to break this news to everybody in the internet wrestling community. Vince McMahon is not involved with WWE anymore. He's not.
No matter how much Dave Meltzer wants you to believe it.
He's been fired as the head of creative. He's got he's a figurehead right now for just the company as it moves through the rest of the merger. He hasn't been heavily involved in creative in a long time, which you can obviously tell by the huge boost in ratings. So Vince McMahon doesn't matter to WWE anymore. You can't keep bringing up Vince McMahon because he's not there. Sorry. But he wants to bring up Vince McMahon's past and his, you know, allegations. And here's a funny thing. You bring that up, then 2 weeks later, you bring in Ric Flair.
Yeah. Who, you know, yes, he's a legend. Yes, he's, you know, he's done some nice things, but he is not clean.
No.
He may not be as bad as Flair, but bad as Vince, but he's definitely not a saint.
Ric Flair is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers, but he's done a lot of questionable things in his life, and probably not somebody you need to be bringing out on your television show.
No.
Ever, to be honest with you. You know, so let's just, But anyway, so yeah, so he, you know, Tony just had a I can't even get into what it was because it was so just weird. Like the stuff he was saying was just over the top. It really was like, and then it was his birthday too, which I think exacerbated it because I'm pretty sure he was having a bender for his birthday anyway.
Yeah, one way or the other.
If you like using substances, your birthday is usually a pretty good excuse to just kind of go hog wild. And
yeah,
I'm pretty sure Tony Khan likes using substances. I don't know what. I could guess. I can't say 100% for certain what it is, but you know,
yeah,
the snowman had a big time birthday, and his company, his action figures did not do well enough for him. And he was very disappointed.
That's the understatement of the year.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. We got Tony's tweets out of the way. And by the way, Shawn Michaels and Triple H didn't say a goddamn word about any of it.
Which is how people should be. You know, that's how you should react. I mean, they probably got some marching orders from Endeavor or what is the TKO, I guess is what they're called now. And, you know, they know how to be professional.
Well, yeah.
Tony answers to himself.
When you're the owner or head of a company, you have to act like an executive, even if you don't want to. Hey, Tony, you can always create a burner account, bud. Like,
yeah. Or get Dave Meltzer, your BFF, to, you know, do his own thing. Ridicule him.
Dave Meltzer, who's calling Tony personally to suggest ideas for Sting's last match.
Yeah.
Journalist,
I'm going to say this.
Yes.
His last match should be against, as long as he's alive and, you know, functioning, Darby Allin. Because that's what they've been doing. They're trying to build Darby off of Sting. Mm-hmm. So have Sting put him over if he can. I mean, Darby's probably going to want to jump off a 200-foot high dive onto a bed of tacks next to Sting's body so that the vibrations that hit the, you know, the earth somehow cause Sting to be knocked out. He comes up with.
It's going to be Sting and Darby versus Flair and Andrade.
Oh God, another one of Flair's matches. That's not that you don't go out like that. They couldn't even put a good they barely had a good match when it was the last Nitro. Let the memories alone.
I saw his last match.
I saw his last match too, and it
was the saddest thing I've ever fucking seen. Like I was literally like, I can't believe like he just looked like a sad old man out there, and I'm like, I can't believe you're doing this. Like I can't. And then I was like, I can't believe I'm watching this. And then I turned it off because I was just I couldn't like. Ugh.
It's embarrassing. It's not embarrassing. Embarrassing is not the right word. It's pitiful.
Yes.
It's no, please. Just somebody needs to. It's going to be Sting's last match and Flair's last day, because I mean he can't keep doing this. He barely can move when he had Jarrett and Lethal in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
He is not going to be able to go toe to toe. And if Darby does something stupid, because you know he wants to do something stupid, and Flair takes the bump.
Yep.
Oh, this could be. It's. I don't know.
I mean, that's
someone step in, please. Someone step in.
That's my Tony Khan hotshot booking guess. If it were me, I would do a tag match with Darby and Sting versus, you know, a hot heel team. Maybe FTR. That would be, you know, if you want to make FTR heels again, something like that. Because. Yeah. You know, and then you can get the best you can get out of Sting. You got Darby, who they can beat the living crap out of for the majority of the match. And then that's it. You know, you go home. Sting gets the big comeback, but Darby gets, you know, they get some heat on Sting. Darby gets the big save, wins the match. And then Darby and Sting raise their hands together and Sting walks off into the night. You know, all the snowflakes fall or whatever they're going to do.
Yeah.
But. Who knows? Who knows what Tony's going to do? He might have them face the fucking Young Bucks and lose. You know?
I mean, I agree the person leaving should put the guy over.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen, but you know, there are certain people who are legends who don't need to do that. And, you know, having a memorable match with them is just as big as doing something, as you know, getting a win over them, like Taker's final match. You know, everybody's going to remember AJ Styles putting him over, in the Boneyard match, which was one of his, you know, which was just an amazing spectacle to watch.
Yes.
It wasn't really a match, but it was a fight, and
It
it
was
was
a great movie
perfect
fight.
send off, perfect send off, and
Yes.
no one came out looking bad. I mean, the useless, anchors that tie themselves to AJ didn't look too great, and they were fired shortly thereafter.
AJ's pilot fish.
Yeah, no, they're more like barnacles. Is that the word I'm thinking of? Is that the right animal?
Oh, I don't know. I was
I
thinking
don't
pilot
know.
fish because they're the ones who fly around or who swim around with sharks and eat the stuff that comes out of the sharks' mouths.
Well, I'm thinking something. I need something more that's parasitic, because that's what they are. They're parasites.
The
But
tapeworms, AJ's tapeworms.
So they're the only ones that came out looking stupid. AJ put on a good match. He almost had the match won if it wasn't for Undertaker using the teleportation that he can summon. He would never have been, he wouldn't have won that match.
Oh, jeez.
So, but my point is, though, it was, it's a legend who didn't have to put someone over to still
Yeah.
get someone over. So I can see Sting winning in some fashion, especially if it's a tag match. But please don't make it Flair.
All right. Hey, I'm gonna have to stop this for a second
Sure.
and go.
Okay.
And we're back. Sorry about that again, folks. We've been getting interrupted quite a bit this evening. While I was away taking care of some around the house business. We apparently Rob is composing a tweet as one does on the Twitter machine. What
Yes.
art thou tweeting?
Well, if since we did talk about Tony's breakdown, I just saw the Dynamite numbers, which got the lowest ratings in from a very long time. They were under 775,000.
Yes.
I decided to do a callback. So at one point, Tony tweeted that this week, two active decades-long waiting streaks were from two great legends were ended. With all due respect, until this week's head-to-head AEW on TBS versus, John Cena and Undertaker had never been on a show with under 1 million viewers. So I decided to have a little fun, and I even tagged Tony on this, and I'm about to send it because I needed to get it under the, character count.
Oh yeah. Well, you won't be
But
the
it,
first one that I've seen that tweet a
oh no,
couple of
I, I'm.
times today.
Yeah, I know. I'm just proud of this. I
I'm
said,
glad you're tagging Tony in it though. That'll be
yeah,
fun.
no one else does. I said this week an active decade-long rating streak from a great legend continued. With all due respect, Tony Khan, this week's head-to-head AEW on TBS versus Frazier on Paramount Plus allowed Ric Flair to continue being on a non-WWE primetime cable show with under 1 million total viewers because he was
Haven't
on
seen that
TNA.
one. I haven't seen that one. That's a good one.
He was on TNA, so I can't
Yes,
say it
yes.
was he kept that streak going. No, this is this Tony needs to be aware. He's part of history.
Yes. He's continuing a long legacy of failure.
Yep. I'm glad I got you. I'm glad I elicited a chuckle. Mission
Yes.
accomplished.
Mission accomplished. All right. Something that did not elicit a chuckle was the pay-per-view that happened while we were gone, WWE Fastlane. I hated this
Oh,
pay-per-view.
yeah, it was not good.
I absolutely like it was so bad. And it sucked because the one before it was at least decent. Was that SummerSlam? Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was just I mean the matches were eh. The best match was the LA Knight John Cena match. LA Knight and John Cena versus Jimmy and Solo. Because it was a straight tag match. They treated it like a tag match. Cody and Jay, which I'm so glad that their reign is over, because all of their matches when they were tag team champions, yes, Cody and were like it was like two singles matches. Like Jay would get in there and have his singles match, and then get beat up, and then he tagged Cody, and Cody would come in and have his singles match, and both of their partners, you know, like whoever they were with, the partners would disappear and hide under the apron or out of sight of the camera, and then they'd get back up and tag back in, and then all four guys would get in, and it would be chaos, and then there would be a finish. And it just, that's not tag team wrestling. I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad you described it as such, because I was trying to figure out what was wrong with what I was watching. It just didn't flow right. And I was like, oh, they just don't have chemistry, maybe. Mm-hmm. No, now I understand. It's just that they were wrestling their own matches.
Mm-hmm. It was not a tag team match.
No.
You know, it showed. I mean, I'm sorry, but I couldn't. But the problem is I'm starting to see this everywhere on WWE. It's like, this is what they think tag team wrestling is supposed to look like or something. I don't know. I don't know. Cause I saw it the other night on NXT and I was like, no, this is not tag team wrestling.
No, tag team wrestling is more, you know, it's more cohesive.
You know,
it's got like, there's a tandem unit to it, I guess is how you like try to explain it.
It's not hard. Shine. No. Heat, hot tag, big pop, go to your finish. That's it.
It's a formula that worked for ages. Why change
it? It worked. You can sometimes you can get the heat earlier in the match if you know, like if you know you're like if you're getting your heat on the finish, you get the heat really early in the match. Then you allowed for a long comeback, you know, or something like that. You can mess with the formula a little bit, but both. All four people should constantly be on the fucking apron or in the ring. Disappearing shit is bullshit. I don't like it in triple threat matches. I don't like it in fatal four ways or whatever. But I especially do not like it in tag team matches because part of what makes a tag team match great is the other baby face over there concerned about his partner walking back and forth on the ropes, stomping his feet, trying to get in. You know what I mean? Not laying out on the ground, pretending to have an injury or whatever while the other guy makes his comeback or gets beat up.
Yeah.
You know, like go back and watch the Rock and Roll Express. Yes. Ricky Morton might have laid on the apron for about 30 seconds while Robert Gibson was making the comeback, but eventually he got up. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And if you're a heel, that shouldn't happen at all. If you're heels, because you should be tagging in and out constantly to keep the baby face, to keep the fresh man in the ring and keep the baby face on your side of the ring. Oh, sorry.
And you know, for some reason, I thought Triple H was a big fan of tag wrestling. So for me, it's like, because I just have a skewed, I don't have a great memory, maybe, but I expected more of a tag team wrestling with Triple H at the helm. And I don't know why I guess it's regressing.
Yeah.
Or it's morphing into something that it was never meant to be.
Yeah.
Like those are the type of tag matches you could play on like the N64 or on SmackDown because you know it just doesn't, video games don't lend itself to that kind of style.
Yeah.
And it's not what, like if you watch the old NXT when FTR and DIY were around, or not FTR,
watch FTR and American Alpha.
Yeah. Those were wrestling matches. Those were tag matches. Those were beautifully done tag matches.
Mm-hmm.
This, I mean, even recently, you know, any match with Pretty Deadly prior to injury. I don't, they haven't had a tag match since they got back, right?
They had one and it was not good for them. It kind of made them look like the new Breezango.
Yeah. But that was after that was before their injury, right?
No, that was right after. They just came back and it was.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, they got beat up pretty much the whole match and won on a roll up, and it was against the Brawling Brutes, and it was just not, it wasn't Pretty Deadly as far as I'm concerned. I'm sorry, but they didn't, I don't know. I don't know if somebody up there on the main roster doesn't understand their gimmick or what they are, but it's not looking good for them.
Yeah, I think that injury actually, you know, killed their momentum a little bit, especially since they were just starting to get over, or just starting to, you know, just got there. But, you know, those are tag matches, and the new formula that they're using, I don't know.
Well, here's another thing, and this is something I've been harping on for years because it pisses me off and they don't do it. They do it. And this is like, you look at the WWE tag division and there's no tag teams. It's all singles wrestlers that form temporary teams. You know, DIY is Ciampa and Gargano, but they're both singles guys. They're not tag team.
No.
You know, American Alpha, and I like him. I love Chad Gable, but Chad Gable is a singles guy.
Is he, though? I mean,
well, Chad's okay, maybe Chad's an exception.
Chad's a tag team specialist, I think.
I feel like the New Day is still singles guys because Big E's not there.
I agree with that.
You know, the Brawling Brutes, two singles guys.
Yeah.
It's like every one of their tag teams is two guys that are, should be in the singles, that just kind of get thrown together and given a name. And that's not a tag team. A tag team should be a tag team forever.
Some tag teams work, though. I mean, you can't say that the Bar was not a good tag team.
No, the Bar was a great tag team.
And they were two singles guys who got thrown together. I mean, there are exceptions to that rule, but I agree with you.
Yes.
100%. Like, when they threw
Raging Bull and Rick Rude were two singles guys, start.
Okay, yeah.
The R&R, baby, the R&R, the real R&R. Let me tell you something, Daddy. Let me tell you something.
That we can't use that. That should not be the
that's not the litmus
should not
test.
Be the rule. That's not, yeah, that's not the litmus test. No, no, not good team. But no. Every time I watch the R&R wrestle, I'm thinking, like, when is Rude gonna split away from here? Because this doesn't make any sense to me.
Right, Rick Rude, who's all concerned about his body, teaming up with
a guy who probably hasn't been to a gym in years. Oh no, but I like Manny Fernandez. He's pretty good.
It's
the odd couple team without the odd couple gimmick.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like they don't go together at all, but you know, it's working. But they're not acknowledging that they're oddballs. It's just like, yep, we're just we're partners. We're here.
Then you got Paul Jones, who's just progressively kind of being pushed out of the shot by Rick Rude.
Yep.
Like, Paul Jones will start talking and Rick Rude will just interrupt him and then just kind of, okay, I'm going to get in here in front of the camera.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. That was all I really had to talk about at Fastlane, because I don't even remember what the other matches were.
I mean, there was the LA Knight match, but we talked about that briefly.
That was actually really good because, for one, Cena sold most of the match, which was crazy to me.
Yeah, that was new. I was not expecting that. I thought because, oh, he's from Hollywood, they probably will just use him as a hot tag.
He wants LA Knight to get over. He's helping LA Knight get over. And he's done a great job of it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. Oh, well, okay. This will transition us into the next thing, because LA Knight has the biggest match of his career next weekend.
A week, yeah.
Yeah. The good old Crown Jewel in somewhere in parts unknown.
Yeah. I know the plan is to get him through Mania. I know the plan is to get it to Cody, but I want to see an audible. Even if it's just one of those fake, I think we talked about this, one of those fake wins, you know,
like a dusty finish.
Yeah. Yeah. That, or like just something where Knight is celebrating with the title. And then it's like, nope, we have to either the next night, you know, return the strap to Roman because of his technicality, or the match gets restarted and doesn't go on the record books. Something. You got to give Knight his moment now. This is it.
They should have done that with, I think it was the last Roman Reigns match, where he, they had the, was it Roman or was it Shinsuke? The Shinsuke and Seth match, where they had the referee got knocked out, and then the second referee came in. And I was like, okay, well, they're going to do the Dusty finish where the referee who gets knocked out comes to after the match and says, no, 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 this is a disqualification.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't remember which one that was. And thank you for bringing up the Shinsuke match, because I blocked that out of my head. I have stuff I want to talk about that, but we don't have to, because I don't want to
get too heated. The Shinsuke-Seth Rollins match?
Yeah.
That was a complete piece of shit. I didn't watch that fucking match.
No, you, okay, one comment. You don't use Mist if you can't get the win.
Yeah.
That is, it's a what it was, a last man standing match. You put Mist in his face and he fell off a freaking ladder.
Not just Mist, it was Red Mist, right?
I think so. It was the one that
so
burns.
He should have fallen in through the off the ladder through the table, been unconscious, and then been rolling around in pain for the rest of the match because his eyes were burning. Because yeah. That's what Red Mist is supposed to do. It's supposed to burn.
That once you did that, I thought, oh, he's winning. No, he's not. You don't come back from that. Sorry. That's you know, like, I understand you wanted to keep the belt on Seth, but then don't make Shinsuke do that, because now he looks like it's the last 2 months didn't happen.
Yep.
He's back to square one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Triple H has the audacity to come out on the press conference and say, this is the Shinsuke I wanted. Okay. Then put the friggin' title on him,
right?
Because
I'm sorry,
that yeah. No, it's and then you put him in a feud that went nowhere with Ricochet. Did he even? I stopped watching because I just didn't care. Did Ricochet beat Shinsuke that night?
Shinsuke destroyed Ricochet.
Good. At least that was something. Because it doesn't make sense to me, because somehow Ricochet is going to be involved in Logan Paul's match. So you think Ricochet should have came? You know. Came out looking good there, but it's like, where does Shinsuke go now?
I don't know. I think they're teasing Shinsuke CM Punk.
You know, again, that's great, but then does Punk go? I'm going to go with the idea that Punk is coming back. I don't like the idea because I'm not a big Punk fan, but let's say he is. I'm accepting that. Yeah, Punk goes over. He hasn't wrestled a match in like 10 years in WWE, didn't look all that great in AEW, and comes in and gets a win over Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm just saying what other people are saying. I don't know. I wouldn't put him up against Punk, because I think that I think Punk should go up against Miz for his first feud. I think that's a great way to get him back into WWE. It's an easy victory. Miz is going to get a ton of fucking heat by even being in the same ring with CM Punk. They can tear each other apart on the microphone and have a good, safe match.
Yeah.
Like,
and there's a history there, because I remember when I vaguely remember when Miz adopted the short trunks,
mm-hmm.
people were saying he stole CM Punk's look.
Yeah.
I remember that, like, and and Punk can make, you know, comment about, oh, you stole my look, you stole Daniel Bryan's moveset for a little bit, you're you're nothing original, just go with that.
Well,
you know?
I mean, you could basically, you don't have to say it, but you could hint to the fact that remember CM Punk called MJF a low budget Miz.
Oh yeah, there you go.
So if you could just say, you know, you could just have Miz say, oh, well, I heard you talking about me somewhere else. And there is no low budget me, because there's no way anyone could be me, you know, just something, you know, it's Miz. He can get heat against a fucking chicken salad sandwich.
Yep.
You know, like, so yeah, that's what I would do. I think they're just people are trying to put two and two together, because Shinsuke hit the GTS and he used a line from Punk's entrance music, the from Cult of Personality, in his latest promo.
Yeah, so that's fine. Let him, if that's the feud you want, but they got it. They do what they did with Mox. have Shinsuke just completely obliterate him for the first match. You know, like when Mox took out Punk in like 30 seconds.
Be like Rocky III, man. Badass. Yeah,
exactly.
Moxley, a badass. I got arthritis so bad I can't stand up till noon. I'm a badass.
I hate Mox. I used to be a... I can't believe I was ever a Dean Ambrose fan.
I was such a big... Dean Ambrose is what got me back into wrestling. I swear to God.
In my mind, I know this wasn't how it played out because there was no true leader, I guess, of the Shield. In my mind, he was the leader of the Shield. I don't know what it was. Whenever I saw him out there, he commanded authority. I don't know why. I couldn't, like, maybe it was because he was the only singles wrestler at the time when they were doing the Shield.
Yeah.
But for me, he looked like the one in charge. And then that feud with Seth, you know, everything about him, so great. Then he decided, I don't want to wrestle. I just want to, you know, stick skewers in my forehead.
Yeah.
And make Renee Young crushing, Renee Paquette crushing every single, like, you know, brain cell for her wanting to marry me, because I can guarantee you that she has to be doing that on a nightly basis whenever she sees her husband wrestle, because that's just insane to me.
Yeah. I know, man. Dude, I used to cosplay as Dean Ambrose for like 2 years. If I went to a convention, I was dressed as Dean Ambrose. I went as Dean Ambrose for Halloween twice.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was a huge Dean Ambrose fan. I was like, this guy is fucking awesome. Like,
yeah.
He can talk on the mic. He can go in the ring. He's fun. He's different. He's got a sense of humor. And now I see him on AEW, and I'm like, what?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I'm the same way.
This is what you've always wanted to do? Like,
this is ridiculous.
You've always been balding, but that's fine. There's nothing wrong with being balding, but you're completely out of fucking shape. You can't even do the fundamentals anymore. Like,
nope.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't even do a snap suplex and make it look good. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that used to be one of your best fucking moves. You had a great snap suplex. And now it's just like, I'd rather throw myself off stuff and cut my forehead open and bleed all over people and be a badass and Rocky III. You know what I mean? AC/DC, yeah. Back in Black, Highway to Hell. Fucking what the fuck?
I have no idea what happened to that man, but something isn't right with his head. Because, you know, like when, okay, so when AJ was there, right? When, when he came in and he feuded with Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
I love that feud. That was the first, do you know, for when AJ debuted in WWE, he was one of the first shirts I ever got from wrestling for like a very long time. And there was only two wrestlers during that time period that I bought shirts of.
Mm-hmm.
Styles and Ambrose.
Yep.
I threw away all my Ambrose shirts because it's like, what's the point? I didn't do like a LeBron James, you know, Heat fan thing where I burned everything, but it was just like, I don't even know why I was a fan of him. So when it came to like organizing my clothes to move into my then fiance's home, I was like, I don't need these.
Yeah, all of mine are now work shirts.
Yeah. I didn't even save them for the gym. I was like, yeah, I don't need them.
And I still even feel bad about wearing my Shield shirt sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I still love Roman and Seth, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whatever. And I can't, but I can't be like wearing an Ambrose shirt, because then somebody inevitably would be like, who are you watching in AEW? And be like, fuck no.
Yeah.
That's not Dean Ambrose, dude. That's Jon Moxley, and he sucks.
Yep.
Dean Ambrose was cool.
You know what's funny? He did the reverse of the Sheep Herders. So yeah. My understanding of the Sheep Herders was like when they were outside of WWE before they just signed up, they were the most barbaric tag team around. They would cut themselves all the time. They were like a menace to society. Mm-hmm. Then they get to WWF and they tone themselves down. They become family oriented and they have like a long career. They make the money and they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
Mox is like, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to, you know, work the safe style for the first few years and be like, fuck you. I'm going
to GCW and going to get hit with some light tubes. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I'm a badass. I'm just like,
why would you do that? You're like, I don't know. Maybe I guess there are people out there who really do want to do art for art's sake and not care about their longevity, because that's the only thing I can justify.
That's fine if you've got a partner who understands, but he's got a child.
Yeah.
Like, that's not cool, dude. I'm sorry. You're going to be fucking, you know what, you're going to fucking end up being fucking the goddamn what's his name? The British Bulldog, not Davy Boy. The Dynamite. You're gonna end up being Dynamite fucking kid.
Yeah.
That's what you're gonna fucking do to yourself.
Yeah.
Yep. So good, you know.
Best case scenario. Yep. Best case scenario, that's it.
That's great. That's great. Good for you. Good fucking job, dude.
And you know what? And you know what your legacy is going to be to the, you know, 700,000 fans who watch AEW. You're going to be an idol to the rest of the world. It's going to be like, geez, couldn't he make it in WWE?
Yeah. What the fuck happened to? No, it's going to be what the fuck happened to Dean Ambrose?
Yeah.
Where is he? Why didn't he?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, what, he couldn't hack it or something because, you know, like, why did he have to bust his? Why did he have to use like skewers and pizza cutters to try to get over?
Yeah. And then they're going to bring him out for the fucking Shield reunion when they go into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And he's not gonna be like, thing. God, he looks like shit.
Yep.
What the fuck happened to him?
It's like, well, you should just watch AEW. This is him from that's what he looks like.
He looks like
he didn't get worse. He just looks like that.
God, he looks like the guy who did my fucking bathroom innovation 2 years ago. John Moxley no-sold my kitchen, or John Moxley no-showed my kitchen remodel.
If he did your kitchen remodel, you wouldn't have a kitchen yet. It would all been, you know, he would have broken every single, like,
putting himself through the fucking island.
Using the kitchen sink to bludgeon himself. It's like, Mox, who are you wrestling?
I heard you were a fan. Check this out. Tonk, tonk, badass. Anyway, all right, so let's see. That was LA Knight. Oh, well, so anyway, yes, I think LA Knight's gonna have a great match with Roman. I think,
yeah,
we're gonna get another fuck finish with fucking the Bloodline or whatever, but that's fine. Because I think LA Knight's gonna take the I think LA Knight's next feud should be Logan Paul, and I think he should take the United States title off Logan Paul.
You think he's losing it to, you think Ray's dropping it?
I think he should. I think that you need to get, I think that title needs to be on LA Knight. He needs a fucking title. And yeah, right now the only other title he could possibly get would be
Seth's?
The IC title.
He ain't taking the love Gunther.
No. He is not.
He could take it off Seth.
Yeah, but I don't see that happening because I don't see a babyface versus babyface. I think we're getting into a crown jewel, so let's just go ahead. I think Damian Priest is going to cash in and end up with the title. I think he's going to cash in towards the end of the match, make it a triple threat, and do exactly to Seth what Seth did to Roman.
Hello? I can see that. I can see that.
I think that's going to lead Seth to...
Wait a minute. Who's Seth facing, though?
Seth's facing Drew McIntyre.
Oh, yeah.
I think Seth's going to start... It is going to be the beginning of Seth's demons coming back to haunt him. Because Seth's done a lot of fucked up shit to people over the years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's going to lead to him becoming very, like, a kind of paranoid fucking, like... Like, kind of even, not crazy, but, like, yeah, crazy paranoid type of character.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think Drew will get a rematch that he'll lose, and that'll be, or he'll get a match against Seth that he'll lose, and that'll be the final straw. He's going to fucking go full fucking heel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or maybe we get Seth and Damian and then he loses and goes full fucking heel. I don't know. Something's,
you don't think, you don't think McIntyre comes out of that as a champion?
I don't think so. I think McIntyre might end up being, I mean, McIntyre could end up being, winning the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania,
mm-hmm,
as a heel.
Yeah.
Which I think would be fucking, like, great with that story he told about when he won it as a babyface and there was nobody fucking there. So he's going to win it as a heel with everybody fucking there and just absorb the fucking booze and be fuck you to everyone. Or he could stay as a babyface and just be, you know, DTA Drew McIntyre like he's been and just be a lone wolf, a fucking Stone Cold type of babyface where he just doesn't give a shit about anybody else. You're on your fucking own.
Which would be good. I like that character for him.
So, I mean, either way, there's a lot of roads you can take coming out of that, but I think Priest needs to cash that fucking thing in because I'm tired of him carrying it around. I think the Judgment Day are going to, I think Priest is going to cash it in, and then Judgment Day are going to start defending the tag team titles under Freebird rules with McDonough and Finn being the tag champions.
I can see that. That works. That works for me.
Which works for me too, because then they don't have to hold them for very long. They can split the belts back up, which they need to fucking do. Either split the belts up or get one fucking set of tag team belts, because I'm tired of the four belts.
Yeah, it's useless. I mean, Roman still walks out with three belts now, right? Doesn't he still do that?
No, he just wears the one belt now.
Okay, good.
I think if Roman
can do one belt, then I think Finn and Damian can do one belt.
I think they should separate them again and do world tag team champions and WWE tag team champions. I think we should go back to the Ruthless Aggression era brand split where you got, or not Ruthless Aggression, though they did that in the Ruthless Aggression, didn't they?
Yeah,
they
did. Yeah.
Yeah, where they had two sets of tag belts. And SmackDown you had tag teams. Belts on each, program. Because it's, you got too many tag teams in NXT that are waiting to fucking come up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just have two tag divisions again, because, again, this is why I always, hearkening back to something we said at the beginning of the show, this is why you have the brand split, is because you get more people on TV every week.
Yeah.
Because I remember in, 2015, 2016, when there wasn't a brand split, was that 2017 too, right? Because I think they introduced it back in 2018.
Yeah.
When there wasn't, SmackDown was just like a Raw recap show with a couple of matches.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always the exact same fucking people every fucking show. What I mean? You got zero variety. And when they did the brand split, I was so fucking happy. I was like, finally, yes. I could see some of these people that I really like that I never get to see. But of course, then Vince has his fucking favorites. So again, But anyway, so let's see. We talked about Crown Jewel, because I don't think there's anything else happening at Crown Jewel that is going to be super
important. No.
Okay.
I mean, other than Rey Mysterio losing to Logan Paul, I guess that's it. I can see Ricochet getting involved. I see Dirty Dom getting involved in that, but that's really it. I honestly thought they might turn it into a tag match, but I think they're going to keep it separate.
I think Ricochet is going to go after the North American Championship, to be honest with you.
At the same event or just in general?
Just in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's going to go after the North American title. He might even go back down to NXT for a little while. I don't like Ricochet. We've talked about this. I do not like his style. He's fucking blander than fucking white toast on the fucking, not even white toast, just like dry fucking old white bread on the fucking mic. Like every, he opens his mouth and it's just like immediately fucking go to sleep.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about him that doesn't really like resonate with me.
No.
And I can't figure out what it is. It's weird though. Part of me wants to see him succeed just because I don't know. I feel like there's something there that I'm not catching. And I feel like that if he doesn't succeed, that means everybody's wrong about him. And I can't imagine, 98% of the population who loves the guy could be this blinded by him.
I think they're wrong.
I don't know. I have no attachment to the guy whatsoever, but I just feel like he has to succeed just to prove me wrong, because there's got to be something with him.
Well, speaking of someone who has succeeded and proven you wrong, good old Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Is back, Ben Carter. Back on the road to finishing the story.
Yep. And you know what though? I, I, It's not that I hate him. It's just that I never viewed him as anything more than the mid cards, upper mid, maybe. Okay, upper mid, maybe a stretch.
Yeah.
But, you know, good for him. I like, you know, he's proving me wrong. He's putting on good matches. They may not be always my cup of tea kind of matches, but they're entertaining. They're solid. And they have logic to them.
I like his singles matches a lot.
Yeah.
I
mean,
his singles matches are fantastic.
Keep him out of the tag picture, please.
Yes. Yes. Keep him away from the tag team.
He's doing amazingly well.
Yes.
And the WWE machine hasn't overbooked him, hasn't made it overly complicated to like him. The guy is going to be the one to beat Roman. He has to be.
Oh, yeah.
Unless they can pull the trigger on Knight. The logical ending is to have Cody beat him, and that would be perfect.
You don't have a babyface come out in a fucking air cast at the end of your fucking show and beat off two fucking heels with a chair and give one of them his fucking finish if that guy's not going to be the guy to dethrone your top fucking heel.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, because, yeah. I mean, Cody Rhodes has moved into like Super Cena territory.
Yeah. But he's not being beat yet.
Dusty Rhodes territory. Because remember, Dusty Rhodes won the NWA championship having just come off a broken leg that was given to him by Tully and Arn and in an aftermath, in a match afterbirth. So, because remember, he had the specialized boot. And he won it with the figure four. I remember that shit. So when Tony, when Cody came out with the air cast on, I was like, fuck yeah, Dusty. You know, I turned into John Moxley for a second. Dusty Rhodes, badass.
You know what, though? I have to also say this. For everybody who, I mean, I know, I think you might have been somewhat part of this group. I felt it was, you did not like him losing at WrestleMania, right?
No, I did not.
Yeah, but you weren't as bad as, I mean, you didn't, you weren't as bad as what I was reading online. There were people who felt like this was it. His entire career is done now, you know? They were like completely doomsayers.
Oh, no, just ready to quit watching WWE.
Yeah, you were just irritated and angry. There were people who said Cody is done. He just came back to lose. That was it. You know, that he was going to fall off the face of the planet Earth. WWE has done a great job of maintaining the level of excitement for Cody Rhodes that he had since he re-debuted in the company.
I mean, I think it's both, because WWE's done their best, but Cody has really stepped up in.
Oh yeah,
you know,
I mean,
like he is just as hot. He is hotter now than he was going into the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he's hotter than he was at WrestleMania, because he was red hot, and he's going to get there again. You know, he's cooled off a little bit, but he's still got all the momentum, all the people behind him. He's still one of the top merch movers. People were literally singing his song after the song had ended when he was doing a run in.
Yeah. Like, they continue. They picked it up where the song ended. They just kept going.
That's crazy. I mean,
that shows you how over he is, and he's maintained it. He's got, you know, he keeps it going. The guy has proven me wrong, he's going to be the star. He is the face of the company right now.
Oh yeah,
the baby face of the company.
If he's the face of the company, LA Knight's the heart, because. Yeah. LA Knight is just as over. And this is what I was, you know, somebody said this on Twitter, and I kind of wanted to say, talking about Cody, this goes to talk about that and Triple H and this whole, in the whole, you know, past year with him under in control of creative. Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Cody Rhodes, LA Knight. We have Seth Rollins. We have more top Chad Gable, more top over baby faces in WWE than we've had since the 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody's fucking over. Like, yeah. All of the baby faces are like over as fuck. And it's great to see, because, you know, like, I can't remember the last time I was like, oh wow, well there's they could do this guy or they could do that guy. That would be good. Oh, this would be good too. You know, like where it's gotten to the point where no matter what they do, it's probably going to be a pretty good program. That's just a credit to Triple H's booking strategy.
Yeah.
Cause I think Triple H does what Tony Khan says he does. Triple H has everything planned out. He's probably already like got his WrestleMania card kind of figured out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's just trying to figure out how do we get there from here, which is the way you're supposed to do it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
LA Knight threw a wrinkle in there because I don't think anybody expected him to get that big that fast, but
I expected him to be at this level.
Yeah.
But probably after Mania. Like, I mean, definitely I didn't expect it this fast, but I expected the best.
Yeah.
The guy can talk. When I saw him as Eli Drake, I'm like, this guy's gonna be a future star.
Eli's cakes. Tasty, yeah.
Yep.
I loved Eli Drake because that's when I first started watching Impact was when he was champion.
Oh, yeah. Like he definitely had. I saw that. I'm like, this is the. Everybody was talking about EC3 and like, really? I mean, I don't get. He wasn't the reason I was watching Impact. Drake was.
Yeah. He was the reason.
I never got the appeal of Ethan Carter, but Drake, I definitely did. And I'm like, this guy, he's going to be. Like he was the only reason I continued to watch Impact. When he left, I was less like, okay, I don't really care about Sammy Callahan and all these other guys.
Yeah, I did. I quit watching too. I was like, I don't care about Eddie Edwards or Sammy Callahan. Yep. Killer Cross is gone now too. Like,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like
okay, it was nice when it lasted.
But
and yeah. You know, I haven't looked back since. The only thing I know about the only reason I know TNA is coming back is because it was all over Twitter for a day.
Yeah. No, I fully expected him to be successful in WWE. I don't think I quite imagine him skyrocketing to the top as fast as he has.
No.
So I'm with you on that. But yeah, I'm not. I mean, it's deserved too. Like I said, the guy has everything you need to be a great professional wrestler. He can talk. He's good looking. He's got a great physique. He can work in the ring. And anybody who says he can't work in the ring doesn't understand professional wrestling pre, you know, 2010.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's at what I call, okay, every wrestler needs a good finisher so that you can hit out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he has that.
Mm-hmm.
He has, you know, him. He has a great finisher. The style is good. There's nothing wrong with the guy. He has only, he only has an upside.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just going to be a matter of time. I don't think he wins it here. I think he'll have to, he definitely isn't going to win it here. I'd be very surprised. I'd be very pleased, but it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I don't think he wins it. He's not winning against Roman at Clash of Champions, but he's going to put on a damn good match.
Oh, yeah.
And him and Roman are going to tear the house down, and then we're going to get, end up getting Cody versus Roman at Mania. And then from there, the door's wide open, though, because if Cody finishes the story, where do you go from there? I mean, he could hold the title for 2 months, and it could be on somebody else. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
baby faces don't need long reigns.
No, they really don't. Baby faces are better in the chase than as the champion, 9 times out of 10.
It hurts as much as I love watching wrestlers get, you know, like my favorites get a long reign. If they're baby faces, it hurts them. It hurts Sting. It hurt AJ Styles. It hurt Kurt Angle. It just hurts them. They're better when they're villains.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think Damian needs to cash in. I think Seth's reign needs to end soon.
Seth's reign needed to end.
Oh, well, it needed to end with Shinsuke. Yes, I agree.
With Shinsuke, definitely. But I don't even know who he was feuding before that. But it needed to end there.
Yeah.
He was the first title holder for that belt. So it needed a decent reign. But, you know, it didn't need to go this long.
Mm.
I can't remember who he feuded with first. Who did he feud with first? It wasn't Cody.
For the heavyweight championship?
Yeah. He won it from A. He won it in a match with AJ, which made no sense because AJ was a SmackDown star.
Finn.
Was it Finn?
Yeah.
That was his first feud?
I don't know if Finn was his. Yeah, Finn was his first feud because remember, Finn, the story went for like three pay per views.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Because
Finn was like, I want, you know, I need to get you back for beating me for the Universal Championship, and you laughed at me, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but I remember that now. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I guess it makes sense.
Hold on just a second. I'll be right back.
Sure.
All right, folks, now the good times really come out. We're vaping beer number three. So, Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
NXT champion just dropped it this past Tuesday, so two nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that NXT title reign.
That NXT title reign. Sorry, go ahead, finish. I don't mean to cut you off all the time.
I felt like she brought more eyes to the product. She got more people that we haven't seen on TV, actual real showcase matches on television, and made that belt feel really fucking important. Am I wrong?
Can I just say ditto?
Okay.
I have nothing to add to that. I mean, she did what her ex-BFF couldn't do or didn't want to do or wasn't allowed to do. Everybody looked good in that reign.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like it ended prematurely. Like, I saw that finish. I'm like, oh, maybe she meant to kick out and forgot. Because there was so much more they could have done with that. And, you know, the fact that she put someone over randomly, not at a pay-per-view, but just at a, you know, on a regular weekly show, that shows no ego.
Mm-hmm.
That shows a willingness to actually do what's best for business.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I mean, and everybody looked good.
Yeah, no everybody.
One looked bad. Indy Tegan Hartwell looked amazing. Tegan Nox looked amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
Tiffany Stratton looked amazing. I mean, she's got talent. I didn't mean to disparage anybody. I just mean like,
yeah,
she's,
I'm not saying that any of those star, people, I'm not saying know? Any of those people are bad talents. That's not at all what I'm saying. But
yeah.
Yes, they all looked very, very good in the ring. They looked like they belonged in the ring with Becky. She made them look like they belonged in that top spot.
Yes.
And man,
they all looked like main roster superstars.
Mm hmm.
They didn't look lost in the ring. I mean, there was a few, I think, there may have been a few moments here and there in every match where something had
a Tegan match and the indie match had a couple of bobbles in it.
Yeah,
but everything, I mean, overall,
they recovered. Everybody recovered in that match. Nothing looked out of place. Everybody did amazing.
Well, that's because Becky does what so many people don't do, is if something doesn't go right, she just goes with what's already happening and then just keeps going with the match like nothing ever happened.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Where like so many people, if something doesn't go right, it completely stalls the match and you can tell something didn't happen.
Yeah, because a lot of those wrestlers are sequence wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
They want their sequence, and if they don't hit the sequence, they become completely lost.
Well, if you watched the matches, and Becky needs to get better at doing this there, Miss Becky Lynch, she was calling the matches in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could see her talking to people throughout the series of the match. Like, you know, do this, do that. Every time they do a couple of moves, she'd, you know, call out another couple spots. So yeah. She's
or like,
calling,
you know,
in the ring,
slow
with
down
these young
or
kids.
Stop. You know, takes like soak it in kind of thing, you know, like as she was, but she, you know, if John Cena can get away with it for, you know, over a decade, I'll give Becky Lynch a pass.
Yeah. No, I mean, it you know, I don't think most people noticed it, to be honest with you.
I noticed it because I'm
looking for it, but
yeah. I mean, I may have subconsciously noticed it a few times. I'm not saying I did or didn't, but you know, it's just, I think I'm just used to that with wrestlers these days. Especially when they're calling matches, but so it's not big. That's not the worst thing, you know, I can always overlook hearing them call a spot.
But then to get those young kids in there, call a match in the ring, have the match be that good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not easy to do.
No.
That's like a Bret Hart type of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I'm not saying Becky Lynch is Bret Hart, but, you know, if you want somebody who's going to get over young talent, Bret was really fucking good at that too.
Yep.
And he was very fucking unselfish about taking a loss to a guy he knew he could probably get the, you know, he'd get it back from, or somebody he respected, you know. So I don't know. And I don't think that Becky and Lyra are done yet. I think that they're going to have one more match.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they had one more match anyway. But yeah, so, okay. You know, yeah, Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch, fantastic NXT run. Becky Lynch is, at this point, Becky Lynch has secured herself as the best of the four horsewomen in my
opinion. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And whereas Miss Mercedes Moné, did you see the video of her that came up on Twitter?
The one where she was at a Comic-Con yelling at a fan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's embarrassing for her.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, you're a professional. Act fucking professionally. There's so many better ways that you could have handled that than, you know, talking about dirt sheets and yelling at the fan. Condescending and belittling the fan. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it wasn't a great question, let's be honest. It wasn't a great question, but,
you know.
There's a way to address it, and she did not do it right.
Yeah. You've got to maintain a level of professionalism there, even when somebody's being a complete and total douche, because that's your fucking job, you know. But whatever. I mean, she's who even knows? Like, I thought she was with New Japan or Noah.
I know she got hurt, so who knows where she is now?
She got hurt. Like, there's rumors of her going to AEW. Rumors of her going to Impact. I think AEW is the only one that has the money that she would want to pay her to come in. But at this point, I don't want to see her wrestle. I've seen her wrestle enough. And she's sloppy.
I'm good.
And she moves too fast in the ring, and she's going to get somebody else hurt or get herself hurt again.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Speaking of the four horsewomen, there was a complete shift in how they ranked. Like, I think in the beginning, everybody was like Banks, Bayley, Becky, Charlotte, or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Banks and Bayley were the top. It's Becky at the top, and then Bayley. And then Charlotte and Banks can fight for third and fourth.
I'd say it's Becky, Charlotte, Bayley.
You think so?
I think so, because I think Charlotte has... I think Charlotte is better... I don't know how to put this. I think Charlotte is better at putting together an entertaining match than Bayley is. I think Bayley is a better in-ring worker, but I think Charlotte gets the ups and downs of the match better than Bayley does, because Bayley tends to have boring matches.
Okay, I can see that.
So, I mean, Charlotte may be a little sloppy and a little rusty sometimes, but she's...
But we can agree that Banks is fourth, no matter what.
Yeah, she is.
Okay, good. Good.
And
okay,
it's nobody's fault but her own.
Oh yeah.
You know.
She refuses to get better because she thinks she's amazing.
She went Ultimate Warrior on it.
Yep.
She went total Ultimate Warrior. You never know. Go total Ultimate Warrior.
Nope. Never go Ultimate Warrior.
But it's serious though, like. She did. She thought she bought into her own fucking hype and bought into the hype of her stans on the internet. You know, and there's one thing of betting on yourself. Okay. That's one thing. But if you're going to bet on yourself and then you go to Japan and then you get injured in like the second match you're in while you're over there, is that really betting on yourself?
I mean, it was a fluke injury, but at the same time, if she actually knew how to design a match, she wouldn't have done half the moves that she did that caused her to get hurt.
But she's also injury prone, and we all know this. Like, you know, how many times was she out in WWE because of injuries for extended period of time? Yeah. Or neck injury, out with, back injury. You know, after WrestleMania when she just had to clear her head for 6 fucking months.
Yep.
You know, it's just.
She's not worth the headache. There's no, unlike the Ultimate Warrior, there's no money to be made if you bring her back.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, back then when Ultimate Warrior was around and, you know, you could bring him back, there was, he didn't make a fool of himself because, you know, the only time he hurt his image was after he completely quit wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, when he would just go on hiatus, you know, that was fine to come back.
But you also, with Warrior, you had the law of diminishing returns because you know you're just going to get the same shit that you got the first time.
Yeah.
He's not going to learn any new moves. He's not going to learn how to sell better. He's not going to be a better promo. It's just going to be the same thing we had before.
Yeah, which is what you're getting with Banks. But the difference is she's hurt her character. She's hurt her image. She's hurt her image now, whereas Warrior waited until after he was retired to hurt his image.
Yeah.
So that's where the diminishing returns really hit you now, because there's mm-hmm. there's nothing there, there's no more goodwill.
Well, and see, that's the thing, is Sasha couldn't even really, you know, people are gonna be, oh god, the five people who listen to this show are gonna get on us. Sasha can't cut a promo. I'm sorry, no. Her promos are awful, like just awful, like canned, like somebody put. Wrote in, you know, type shit into an AI machine, and it just came out with this fake Southern California accent that she doesn't have. She's from fucking Boston.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just. Anyway, sorry.
It's cool.
I don't mean to sit here and bash on Sasha Banks, but it's just, it's frustrating to me because I really liked her and I thought she had a lot of fucking potential, and she just disappointed the shit out of me.
Yep. Threw it all away.
But no, I like Bayley, and I like what Bayley's doing now. I really want the split between Io and Bayley to happen so we can get fucking Bayley versus Io.
Yes, that'd be nice.
But I have a feeling the one who's going to turn, or I have a feeling what's going to happen is Io's going to turn babyface, and then Dakota is going to turn on Io because Dakota's been injured and hasn't been there. I don't know. We'll see. And Bailey's the one in the middle. Who knows? But either way, Becky's the shit. Rhea Ripley's the shit. I don't care what anybody has to say about her her title reign. It's been fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Her standing there on Raw on Monday, watching everybody fight for an opportunity to fight her, was just like, it was beautiful. Of course, then Adam Pearce with the swerve where everybody's going to be fighting her. I was like, oh god, really? Five-way match? She's gonna be bullshit. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. It was an unnecessary thing. There's no reason to do a five-way match, especially when most titles aren't defended like that anymore.
Get one more person in there and have an elimination chamber match in fucking Saudi.
That would be fun.
With the women.
That would have been great.
That would have been so much fucking better.
Yep.
Plus, Rhea could fucking win an elimination chamber match pretty fucking easily because she could be one of the last people out. Or you could do a fucking... Well, you know, you don't want to do the shit where she's in there at the beginning because that's a baby face thing, not a heel thing.
Yeah.
So, but she could do one of those things where she gets up on top of one of the pods and just kind of sits there while everybody else fights each other for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because look at Flair in the 92 Rumble. He fucking, like, he was in there, but he would also lay under the ropes for minutes at a time. So
there's a lot they could have done with an elimination chamber or any kind of cage match between them. And in fact, they can probably do a lot with this five way whenever that happens. Yeah. That's happening at Saudi Arabia, right?
Yeah, fatal five way.
Yeah. So that's a first to be pinned match, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. There's not much. Well, I guess they can still do stuff with that.
Yeah, they're going to do stuff, but you know, WWE, they're going to bring out tables and chairs and fucking kendo sticks and all the other fucking
Because why not?
Bullshit fucking furniture instead of just, you know, I think it should be, of course, you know, I say this all the time, but any multiple man match like that should be an elimination match, and there should be disqualifications.
Agreed.
That way you have to fucking wrestle your opponent. Nobody's going to break up your pinfall because everybody wants people to be fucking eliminated. You know, the heels are going to heal, the baby face is baby face, and fucking, you know, fight. But, you know, that's just me. But I don't think anything should be over a triple threat anyway. I think a triple threat should be it, unless it's like an elimination chamber where there's a, like a, you know, you only have so many people in there at a time.
Exactly.
But who knows? That's the bada bing, bada boom, battle royal. So, speaking of not worth the headache. We talked about this a little, but I want to get back to it. Since we last had an episode, CM Punk got fired.
We didn't talk about that yet?
I don't think so.
I feel like we alluded to it about the entire conversation.
No. Yep. CM Punk got fired.
We need to do a format next time. We need to start with that.
CM Punk got fired for putting a front face lock on Jack Perry and choking him out in front of Tony Khan, which apparently made Tony Khan fear for his life, and fire CM Punk. I think Punk did it on purpose.
He probably did. I would have done it. I would do anything to get out of that company.
I think he was sick of the bullshit. The thing with Jack Perry, with the fucking, you know, going into business for himself on the pre-show of one of the biggest shows in the company's history, to have a fucking bullshit fuck you moment to the biggest star in the company when Jack Perry's a fucking, you know, Jack Perry's not even a mid-carder in my mind. You know what I mean? Like,
he's a, I don't know what he is.
He's an underneath guy. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I guess he's a mid-carder in their ranking
but even,
system.
Even underneath guys, people still want to watch, really.
Yeah.
Do people want to watch Jack Perry? Do people care about him at all?
No, they don't.
So then he's not even an underneath guy. He's a guy who's, you know, I don't know. Even the lowliest jobber in WCW was still had some fans that wanted to see him win.
The Malkies.
Exactly. And I can't think of anybody who is like, I can't think of anybody who actually cares that he's been suspended this long. Like, I, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing, but him. People still talk about Wardlow and, you know, everybody else who's missing on TV. There's no chatter for Jack Perry.
Oh, well, and here's another thing. Andrade, where the fuck has he been?
Miro. Didn't he wrestle last week or something?
Miro completely fucking disappeared. All these people after Punk got fired got the, what I like to call the elite treatment, quotation marks. And suddenly they're not on TV very much. And you don't hear much from them. And now Ricky Starks is in a tag team with Big Bill. And they're tag team champions. I mean, it's just, it's like everything that Punk was trying to do with Collision, the Bucks had to come in and fuck it up just because, like, Punk beat them up when they barged into his dressing room.
Yeah.
And kicked his dog.
Poor dog.
Poor Larry. I'm actually wearing my CM Punk Larry shirt right now.
Oh.
But, yeah, so Punk's fired from AEW. I think he's good to debut at Survivor Series. I think there's going to be either a war game.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's in Orlando, in Chicago. So
it's
why
in
not?
In Chicago, it's sold out. I think there's going to be a War Games or a traditional Survivor Series elimination match where the baby faces need one more guy. Probably Cody's Commandos versus the Judgment Day Bloodline, you know, affiliate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And CM Punk is the CM Punk, Cody, Jay, and Sammy. And, you know, I don't know, somebody else. Maybe Seth. Who knows? I think he's going to be, you know, on the babyface team of whatever big main event match is there. And then I would immediately put him with Miz. But yeah, I think Punk's coming back, and I think good for him. You know, he's got something to prove now after the AEW debacle. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, look, I'm not the problem. You know what I mean? Like, I get along with people just fine for like 99% of my fucking career. Because, I mean, you know, I don't know how people felt about him in WWE during his first run. I know I've heard mixed takes about it. But he was an unhappy, miserable motherfucker. I feel like he has a low tolerance for bullshit and not much of a filter. And I think that probably gets him in a lot of trouble. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's wrong in what he's upset about, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's you can. What was I going to say? He's right to have problems, but he doesn't know how to bring them up.
Yes.
Like, there was a more poetic way of saying it. I just can't remember what it was.
He doesn't have a lot of couth.
He lacks... Yeah.
Diplomacy.
That's there you go. That was the word I was looking for. He lacks diplomacy. He comes out looking like a petulant child sometimes, but his grievances have merit.
Yes. I think that's a good way to put it. And I think that he... Going back to WWE and having a successful run in WWE where he's not constantly under controversy because WWE don't play that fucking shit. You know what I mean? Like, and also, like, I think the time in AEW probably made WWE look a hell of a lot fucking better, especially with Vince McMahon gone and Triple H, you know, at the head of things. It's probably like, holy shit, there's actual professionals here that can act professionally, you know. What was it? Roman Reigns said that that him and CM Punk sit down and talk things out.
Yeah.
The one thing the Young Bucks wouldn't fucking do with CM Punk is have a fucking meeting.
Yep. They're the EVPs.
You know, Roman Reigns is, CM Punk isn't even in the company, and Roman Reigns like, yeah, we'll have to, you know, sit down and talk things out. Which I think partially is just Roman playing to the you know, head of the table, tribal chief character too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he should. I think he would be welcomed with open arms by the fans. I think he'd immediately be a babyface, and he could also switch heel again because I'm sure, like, there's plenty of fucking babyfaces, and they need another top heel. You know, do you think you could switch CM Punk babyface or switch him heel?
I'm sure it's possible. He's pretty good at that. Character work-wise, he's pretty good. He can probably find a way to get people to boo him.
So... I'm excited about it. I really think it should happen. And this is from a guy who hated CM Punk. Literally fucking hated his ass. And the more I fucking listened to him and the more I watched him work and the more I saw the shit going on in AEW, the more I was like, okay, this guy's might be kind of an asshole sometimes, but at least he's not a fucking two-faced little child, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I never liked his work, but he can be given a second chance. Everybody deserves it. And from what came out, no one really came out looking good in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people looked worse.
Yeah.
And, you know, Punk's probably on the better end of that situation. Still bad, but you know, if you told me, hey, we had to get we can only sign one Bucks or Punk and WWE wants to push them, I'd be like, sign Punk. if I had that decision making authority, I'd be like, Punk, you got to get Punk.
Punk can have good matches.
Well, yeah. And also, he's, you know, he's not the type that's going to barge through someone's door and kick their dog.
Or go running to Dave Meltzer every 5 minutes when something doesn't go the way they want him to.
Okay, so I know there are people who like Punk. I'm not one of them. But for whatever upside either of those people have, the downsides on signing the Bucks or Omega are far worse than any downside from Punk. Yeah. Because worst situation is Punk is unhappy, he goes home. Worst situation with Bucks is they're unhappy, they cause chaos. And
they destroy your locker room morale.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, the one thing I didn't hear about any negativity about Punk is that he didn't cause issues backstage in terms of like day-to-day this being their day-to-day. It was only when people decided to get a little outspoken against him that problems came up.
The only people I've heard saying anything negative about Punk and AEW have been the Young Bucks and people in the Young Bucks camp, like Jericho and exactly. Matt Hardy. Everybody else has had nothing but, and I'm talking about guys like Danhausen and Fuego del Sol and like nobody fucking like jobbers way down on the fucking card that he would sit and like talk about their matches with them and like give them advice and you know, go out of their way to call them if they were injured. Like that's, you know, like if you've got, it says a lot how you treat the person who can help you the least.
Yeah.
And Danhausen, there's what does Fuego del Sol, how is he going to help CM Punk at all, ever?
None.
You know. So, I think
they're not on the same level. No disrespect, but they're not.
So, anyway, that's it. I think that's all the stuff I have to go through. Is there anything you want to bring up?
No, none whatsoever. I think we're good for this recap. I think we hit all the major points.
Yeah, I think we did too. At least, well, and at least 75% of them actually made it to the show.
Well, that's being very optimistic. We don't know how long we had the technical difficulties.
I have no idea. I remember seeing the internet connection unstable, and then I didn't realize that the recording that I wasn't recording for. I have no idea how long. So we'll
see. You know, we're going to call this the soft season premiere. The next episode.
No, this is the season finale.
Okay, season finale. Yeah, that makes sense.
Season four. So we'll be much more professional next season.
No, yes. We won't. Oh wait. So I'm invited back. Good.
Yes.
That was my fear.
Yes.
Honestly, okay. Here's something.
I don't think I could get anybody else to do it with me at this point.
Okay. When we were on hiatus for that two months, mm-hmm. my biggest fear was, he's doing the show without me, isn't he? He hasn't invited me back on. This is his way of kicking me off.
No, I would not do that.
He ghosted me.
No. The only person I ever had to kick off the show was the guy who got arrested for exposing himself to a child, and then I had to literally like delete every episode that had him in it. So yeah, that was fun. Sorry. Hello?
I'm here. Sorry. I just got a text.
No, yeah. So yeah, it was fun doing. I'm like, and that was like a year and a half worth of shows.
Yeah.
Fucking gone because I didn't realize that he was a creep.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew he was weird, but weird doesn't necessarily
weird
mean
doesn't,
creep.
Weird doesn't mean creep, yeah.
You know.
You can be weird without being a creep.
Yes.
That's very, it's very
I know. I've been weird all my life. I'm Same only here. Slightly creepy.
I have no creepiness. If you were actually, if you had any level of creepiness, I don't think I'd be doing the show with you. So
no, that's
good.
True.
I have a good creep dar.
But all right. Anyway, that's it for the show for this week. You can find us online at Back to the Ring. You can find Rob at The Real Pinoy Rob, and don't forget to watch LWF. That's my eFed on YouTube. Just search for LWF. Search for Legends Wrestling Federation, and that'll be it. we are done for this week. We will be back next week with a brand new episode. We will be talking about WCW from 1980. Were we in 87 still?
Yes.
Yes, 1987. We will be talking about Ronnie Garvin going up like the challenger. It's going to be amazing, ladies and gentlemen. You'll want to see it. Until then, in the words of our good friend Arn Anderson, it's been your pleasure. So long.